All right, it is 10:11 KMSD, having a little bit of fun off air. We have a studio full, and we have a trainee to talk about. First and foremost, Sunny's here. Hi, Sunny.
Hello.
How's Sunny?
Great.
And we have a guy that I don't know yet. I met him for the first time. Well, let us introduce you to the world.
Yeah. How's it going, Jeff?
It's good to meet you. What's your name?
Cody Albert.
Okay, Cody. We'll get into you and all the things we've ever wanted to know about Cody in a little bit. First, we check in with Jenny over at Schmidt's Landing, and we say hello. You can put those headphones on, and you can hear. Yeah, there you go. Hello, Jenny. How are you?
Good morning. Doing good.
Say hello to. We got Blake also in studio, but he can't hear us right now because he's in the corner.
Has anyone apologized to Cody for Blake ahead of time? Or?
not yet.
Jenny wants to know. By the way, Blake, because we got the microphones on and Blake's in the corner. Blake didn't hear that.
Oh, he maybe doesn't even hear.
He didn't,
he didn't even hear my insult.
No, he didn't even hear your insult. He wants to know if Jenny wants to know if anybody's apologized to Cody for you about you.
Yeah. He signed a disclaimer.
He signed a disclaimer. Gotcha. All right.
That's right.
And yeah, you belong to the state of South Dakota now. Anything that happens, you signed up for. Yes.
You committed.
Absolutely. So, what a difference a week makes in temperature-wise. Last week, we were all around 90 degrees. Now fall has finally got here. I'd like to welcome fall in. Glad it finally got here in the middle of October. How has the fishing been at Schmidt's Landing the last week?
Yeah, so I think during the week here, it's been more kind of in the late afternoon, early evening. I've heard reports of bluegill and then some really nice walleye being caught and then some perch too. But I'd say like the big walleye and bluegill have kind of been the stars of the show this week, and more in the late afternoon, evening.
So what's the bait of choice to catch said fish?
So I think perch, they're moving to the minnows. We do have some people get spike still. I think the waxworms have been more for the bluegill, and then you know, walleye, they're usually like pulling crankbaits and stuff like that. So, night crawlers are still getting taken. So I think that's between maybe the walleye and the bluegill. Once in a while, the perch get after that too. But, so that's kind of what's going on with the bait.
Are we seeing any shore fishermen? Have we seen the fall shore bite take off yet? Or is this still kind of warm with the water temperature?
I feel like the shore bite hasn't really taken off yet. I hope somebody will come in and say, you're wrong about that, and this is what I'm doing. But I haven't had many reports of things going on the shore. So hopefully, as that water temperature goes down, I was hoping to hear what that was, but no one reported that to me yet. So, but yeah, it's gotta have gone down from last week, that's for sure.
I was going to say, have you taken the water temperature yet, Jenny or Sunny?
I haven't.
Mm-mm.
No?
It's got to be a little cooler.
You'd think.
These cold nights. Yeah.
But
no, it's the same thing for me. The shore fishing, it's not there yet.
Not quite there yet.
It's not there.
I think it's – I could be wrong because Lord knows I'm wrong all the time. But I think it's going to be a situation to where it might be like instead of a prolonged bite, it might be like a mad 2 week dash.
Could be.
To where it's just going to be bonkers for a couple weeks and then it's going to get so cold that you're done.
Yeah, you don't want to fish.
That you're done. Yeah, you're like, I'm done. There's nothing going to bite until ice. Yeah. Yeah, I could be wrong. So all y'all,
I agree with that.
Yeah, so y'all baited up and ready to go for this weekend. Should be a pretty nice weekend. Today should be lovely. Saturday should be great. Sunday looks like a chance of rain, I see.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all ready. I have some sad news. This is actually our last weekend for Amy's Sweet Treats.
No.
So if you want to get your cinnamon or caramel roll or bar, this is the weekend to come. But yeah, we're ready. And the hours this week are Sunday to Thursday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and then Friday and Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. And, yeah, we still have the gas on the dock. I think we are going to be closing the 26th of October, so we got 3 weekends, and it's getting ready for ice.
Yeah, I was going to ask, so what happens when you close? Will you do a lot of deep cleaning, get ready for ice?
Yeah, a lot of deep cleaning and stuff like that.
How are you doing on cabins? Are you full this weekend? Got some spots?
So this weekend we are full. Then going into the next 2 weekends, we do have openings.
Gotcha. How can folks make a reservation?
They can give us a call at 605-432-6911. Otherwise, they can go online at schmitzlanding.com.
I see the phone's ringing. We'll let you go so you can
phone's
answer.
Phone's ringing. I'm getting some minnows. Yeah, so it's getting busy here.
It's
so
busy at Schmitz Landing. Right. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks.
All right, the one and only Jenny from Schmitz Landing. Appreciate her spending some time with us. She's in demand.
She is.
In demand.
She's a busy woman.
All right. Everything we always wanted to know about Cody, but we're right. That's Cody, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I got your name right. There you go. So give us a little background on you. Tell us about Cody.
Yeah, Jeff, I grew up in a small town in Iowa, so north central Iowa.
Okay, whereabouts?
Small town called West Bend, if you're familiar with that. So it's home of the Grotto Redemption Center. So,
I spent some quality time in Independence and that thereabouts.
Sure.
And yeah. So.
Yep. So yeah.
More on the northeastern side, I guess that would be.
Yep. Yeah, this would be more north central. But,
okay.
Grew up in a small town. Have a farming background. Working on farms, working with livestock, cattle. Some horses and a lot of cropland background, so farming corn and beans. Once I got done with high school, I decided to go to a community college, Kirkwood Community College down in Cedar Rapids. I got a associate's degree in Parks and Natural Resource Management, and then I decided to take that and then transfer to South Dakota State University, where I majored in natural resource law enforcement and got a minor in criminal justice. So during that time, though, just for like experience to try to get more familiar with the department and kind of the background of what I wanted to get into, I worked for the Iowa DNR as a seasonal water patrol officer for 1 year on Storm Lake, and then for 2 years on Okoboji, the Iowa Great Lakes. So very, very busy, very, good experience to kind of prepare me for this career here in South Dakota as a conservation officer. So
is this something you've always wanted to do?
It is, yeah. At a really young age, my dad, he was really into the outdoors and took me fishing out on the river that was really close to our house. And, it just started there, fishing on a little 14-foot John boat and catching catfish. I mean, I thought it was a blast. And just the view of the river, I mean, it's just a nice little getaway. It just feels secluded from everything else. But, started fishing and then, got into hunting as soon as I could, started pheasant hunting. There's still some birds in Iowa, so, but that definitely learned once I got to South Dakota, there's quite a lot of resources here in this state, and very, very cool, and a lot of opportunity too, a lot more public lands. Essentially, once I got to SDSU, it was very eye-opening to me, just with the amount of public access that we have compared to Iowa, what I'm used to. It's a lot of private farm ground, so it can be difficult at times to, try to hunt. But.
So what made you come to SDSU and not stay in Iowa to go to college?
Yeah, I think a lot of it had to do with what the colleges had to offer. I grew up a big Iowa Hawkeye fan, so I wasn't really sure if I wanted to go to Iowa State, but they had a program kind of similar, but for what I wanted to do and what I was interested in, SDSU, they have that natural resource law enforcement degree. That's really what I was looking forward to and I thought I would be most interested in going forward, and the classes that they had just really pertained to exactly what I wanted to do, and I was really interested in it. So I think that was essentially just the best fit for me, and especially, you know, that Brookings community. It just kind of felt like home, I guess. It's just kind of more of a not so city like, but okay. It's just a good campus to be around. And I had some friends that were also going to SDSU as well, so felt like home. So
when did you get hired up here?
So I actually got hired. I started in March.
Okay.
And I did my kind of a pre-academy, and then I went to the police academy in Pierre and did my training there. Got done in June. Spent some time in Sioux Falls working with an officer down there. Definitely a good experience, but just went to Chamberlain. And now I'm finishing up here in Milbank area here with Blake. So just about on that back end stretch, but I'm looking forward to it. It's been a good experience.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, how long do you have with hanging out with Blake and spending quality time with Blake?
Yeah, so I'm actually going to be here for just a few weeks. So
okay.
After, I believe, I think towards the end of October is when I'll be finishing up.
Then what happens?
So then I will go down to my duty station that I'll be basically permanently stationed at, and that'll be Vermilion area.
Okay.
And so I'll be working down there, and what I'll do there is to finish up the training process, I'll work on a project, basically just going and talking to a bunch of landowners, getting to know the community, you know, kind of hearing what's going on, what the area has to offer, all the mm-hmm. resources, just trying to basically just familiarize myself with the area to better prepare me for you know, how I can best fit, you know, that area and fit their needs.
Now, do you get your choice of where you go, or is it like whatever's open, I'll take?
Yeah, essentially it's, you get a little bit of a choice, but it's going to be of wherever those vacant duty stations are. So I'm not really sure. We have had a few retirements, but I'm not really sure where we're at on vacancies. But I kind of had the idea in my head, you know, I'd like to stay, you know, in that southeastern part of South Dakota, just because, you know, my family's in Iowa, so I'd like to be somewhat close there, and you know, just knowing that southeastern portion, even being close to Yankton and Lewis and Clark, mm-hmm. You know, the boating activity, like, especially from my experience, you know, as in my seasonal jobs, I really grew an interest for, you know, boating and fishing. Just patrolling and doing those types of things. I got really good at it. So I thought that would probably be a pretty good fit for myself and just the area down there. I love the, you know, the Missouri River. I mean, it's beautiful country down there. So
it's probably not too far of a drive if you ever want to go home or
exactly. Like yep. Yeah. If I want to go home, it's probably about 2.5 hours. And then I've also got family just on the Iowa side of the South Dakota border.
So. Okay.
Yep, not too far.
Well, it's great to meet you, and best of luck to you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Sunny, and I'm Sunny. You already know who I am.
We know Sunny.
You can't get rid of me.
That's great comedic timing, by the way. And I'm Sunny. Very nicely done. Thanks. Very nicely done. So what's Hartford been like?
It's been kind of chill. It's been pretty slow, not going to lie. The fishing, our fish cleaning station has been closed, so that really does take, like, a toll on the boat ramp, because people love to clean our fish, or their fish, at our fish cleaning station, and then they just go off of our access. So it's been pretty slow this past week.
Has anybody asked, hey, why is the fish cleaning station closed?
Yes. We've gotten lots of calls, lots of voicemails.
And you tell them?
I tell them we're replacing our septic system. So we're getting a new septic tank and drain field.
I didn't know if you just let it go to voicemail or not. I'm not picking this up.
I know. At some point you're like, there's signs on the fish cleaning station. There's stuff online. Yeah, but people are still curious. I'm always happy to answer. That just opened back up as of 10 minutes ago. So the fish cleaning station will be open for this weekend. Before, we thought it was going to be closed until Monday, but they got done with construction early. So that is open now. So, yeah, there's a bass tournament going out of the park here this weekend. So it'll be definitely busy with that. There's 40 boats in that.
Which bass tournament is this? The Bassmaster 4000?
Right. It's the Big Stone Fall Open.
I don't know.
Yep, there's a bunch of different names. It's hard to remember them all. But, yeah, that should be a good one. Bass fishing on Big Stone, I've heard, has been pretty decent. So I think they're going to have some success there. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's – it's almost impossible to keep up with all the tournaments on Big Stone.
Yeah.
People have asked, what tournament's going on? I don't know. I can't keep up with them. There's like one every day.
Well, there's two sides to it. It's like the Minnesota and South Dakota. So it's like you got to keep up with the Minnesota ones. It's just a lot. It's a long lake that there's a lot of accesses.
Right. Right. I just choose not to keep up.
Right.
I just choose not to. So when people ask, what tournament? I'm like, that's a great question.
Yeah. All I'm concerned about is what they're fishing. I'm like, is it bass or walleye? It's one of the two.
Right.
So... yeah. So I don't really have a fishing report because I haven't seen the fish cleaning station.
That's the great thing about Big Stone. You can fish, you have tournaments for so many different species.
Right, yeah.
Bass and walleye, and you could probably do a bluegill tournament.
That would be actually
is there a bluegill circuit? Is there a bluegill tournament out there? I don't know if there is, but you probably do one. Winter tournament, yeah, that would be, yeah.
It was a long time ago, though.
Yeah.
It'd be fun. Yeah, shore fishing is still slow. It'll pick up, though, I'm pretty positive.
Probably.
So.
Usually once somebody is out there catching fish, then, you know, one thing after another, somebody will see that person catching fish, and then they all congregate to the shores, and... then you know the bite's on.
Have we been getting any of what I like to call the drive-bys? And what I mean by that is the looky-loos that are just kind of looking like, is this person catching anything? Is this, are we getting a lot of the drive-bys?
Yeah, we get quite a few drive-bys. And then while they're driving by the lake, they're like, let's just go check out the campgrounds. And then they'll drive the campgrounds. And, yeah, we get a lot of looky-loos.
Yeah.
Some people, yeah, they like to see the fall colors. They don't get out. But if you're a looky-loo, you still need to have a park entrance license as a reminder because you're still enjoying the park, and there's a good chance you're going to get out and use the bathroom. So.
Right. 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 So how are those fall colors?
They're pretty good. The ash trees, cottonwoods have already lost all their leaves, and that is quite a bit of the park. The whole south portion of the park is covered with ash. But our West Campground, those oaks are just starting to change. The maples are a little bit past peak change. Yeah, we're in a good middle point. I'd say like we're slightly past our peak, but there's still some trees that are just starting to change. So it's kind of been like a long color changing season. So we've gotten to enjoy the fall colors for quite a while, and we still, I'd say, have quite a few weeks left. At least two of a few trees changing. So,
are you seeing many issues with emerald ash borer in your parks with the ash trees? Or?
No, Roberts County hasn't had any sort of alert with emerald ash borer yet, but Grant County is obviously very close, so we're on the lookout for it. We have an ash removal plan each year. We take down 25 ash trees in the mowed area of the park. We've already got about 12, I'd say, and I've got the rest of them all marked in the park.
Okay.
So,
Are you just going to eliminate those ash trees, or is there some sort of treatment?
Yeah, we'd say a majority of our ash trees will remove. There are a few nicer ones in the park that we'll think about, you know, injecting them and putting that into them. But we're not at that point yet where we've seen any sort of infestation, and when we do see that, that's when we'll go through and figure out what trees we want to save, if any. I know a lot of parks are just not saving any because it is very expensive.
Right.
So yeah, we just try to get everything down in the mowed areas, or if it could fall on a road. obviously there's plenty that are in the tall grass, but they're within falling distance. So quite a bit of work to do still. So thankfully Roberts County hasn't really seen or hasn't been reported anything yet.
Sure.
But not to say that won't be soon, but after that you still have, you know, 3 to 5 years to act on it. So yeah.
Sure.
10:31, it's the Conservation Show. We're just getting started. More next. All right, 10:35 KMSD. We continue along with the Conservation Show. We have a studio full, Sonny, the brand new, he's the trainee, Cody, and then Blake is in the corner, trying not to fall out of the 1978 chair. That's the only chair that we have left in there. Be careful there.
Be cautious.
Yeah, be very cautious.
We got a program tonight that I'd like to mention.
Oh, what a beautiful night it's going to be.
I know, right?
Come
It'll
on
be
now.
Great. It's from 5:30 to 7. We're going to be picking pumpkins in our pumpkin patch. Our pumpkins did very well this year. The deer thought so as well. So we've lost quite a few so far. But we still have plenty left. So we got that tonight from 5:30 to 7. Cassie's coming up. She's going to have some crafts, like leaf stamps. We'll have some paint, too, if you want to paint your pumpkin after you pick it. Some self-led hike stuff. So it should be a fun little night for it. And we'll be over at our park maintenance shop area next to the patch. So that starts at 5:30. And all you need for that is just a park entrance license.
Gonna pick the pumpkins.
Yep, the ones that are still there. I don't even know. We probably lost 20 to 30 to turkey, rabbits, and deer. They love pumpkins. And there's like no great way to prevent them unless you put a big fence around it. Like sprays really don't do great. I don't know. I gotta figure out a way to keep them out of there. Because that's a decent little harvest, 20 to 30 pumpkins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you, is there any cost with that? I guess.
No, just the park entrance license. Yep, okay. Just make sure you have that on your vehicle. If you don't, the 2026s are being sold right now, so there is no better time than now. And that'll be good until May of 2027. So you'll get a bunch of months, over a year.
So that is effective currently?
Correct, yep.
Okay.
You'll be valid if you have one of those and don't have one already.
Neat. And I did not know that rabbits liked pumpkins.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them chewing on them.
Huh. I only thought that they liked the food that whatever kind of food was under my shed.
Yeah.
I only thought that that's what they liked.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hostas. They tear apart my hostas. They love hostas, that's for sure.
So do you try to, I guess, have you tried anything to keep the wildlife out? Just scare them away? Or
really, there's no prevention.
Yeah. It's tough.
It is.
Yeah.
It is, and we have so many rabbits in the park, it's crazy. If you drive through at night, have you driven through the park at night and just seen how many there are? The ground is moving. There are lots of rabbits. Yeah.
That's the rabbits, that's usually what jumps out at you when you're walking to your deer stand real early in the morning. Mm-hmm. It's still dark, and you think it just scares the life out of you. It truly does. But
the rabbits, yeah.
Well, should we talk about what's going on this weekend?
Yeah, we
have we hit that point?
For us, we got resident opener coming up, so resident pheasant opener, that is. So that'll be starting Saturday and going through Monday on the holiday there. So probably going to be some pheasant hunters out, and just kind of some reminders is with resident only, that is on all public lands. That applies. So your game production areas, waterfowl production areas, walking areas, your Army Corps land, just to name a few. And for more information, you can always refer back to that hunting and trapping regulations book that the department has out every year. Find a lot of information through there. And Yeah, it's should be a good weekend. It's kind of a, I know we've had duck opener just a couple weeks ago, but this usually really starts to feel like fall and gets people out and excited for the actual opener the following week. So
is it all hands on deck for the conservation officers on big weekends like this and of course next weekend?
Right. Yeah. So typically there's quite a bit of patrolling in the areas, just out checking hunters, seeing how they're doing, seeing you know what harvest success looks like for those hunters on public lands. So yeah, it's usually we're getting into our busy time of the year. So there'll definitely be quite a few officers out. So, but as for hunters, you know, you just got to go where the birds are going to be too, and where that public land is. So, you probably see a lot of concentration over western portion of the county, just being that there's more public land over there and into Day County too. So, yep. But
so you were in Sioux Falls area. Did you say you were in Chamberlain area, and then you're finishing here?
Yes. Yeah.
So, where's the best pheasant habitat overall out of the three?
That's tough. I mean, I was just getting up here. You know, I was just learning the area yesterday. I mean, it's a really gorgeous area. Truly, a lot of people call it God's country. You know, there's mm-hmm. just a little bit of everything. You know, you got, and I enjoy it. The habitat. I mean, there's cropland and you know hills and grasslands, and it's just it's a really good diverse mix, and you got some shelter belts mixed in there too. So that's a tough one. I mean, Sioux Falls, definitely, just being that very ag driven and you know mm-hmm. industrial, it's there really wasn't a whole lot, but in those areas you get out into the country and you know on private land you would see quite a resource there. But Chamberlain, now that's different. Like they're being right along the Missouri there, and being, you know, there's plenty of resources out there and mm-hmm. grasslands, and a lot of landowners that are putting, you know, food plots out and, you know, just you know, different pollinators plots and grasslands. So there is a very large amount of habitat in the area there for Chamberlain, and they see a lot of you know pheasant hunters mm-hmm. in that area. So probably seen the most birds out there than I've ever seen, you know. Yeah. But here though, I mean, we've got a really good diverse you know area of land. I mean, there's grasslands and cropland, and I think a lot of people will probably start seeing a lot more success once those, you know, cropland fields get out. A lot of guys are still harvesting right now, so that can kind of push a lot of birds into the unharvested crops. But no, they're beans, it's not really that cold yet too. Mm-hmm. A lot of those birds are going to be in those grassland areas that aren't so thick. I'm just still running around, but as we get in, you know, later into the weeks, you know, gets colder, you should start to see a little bit of movement into the, you know, the thicker grasses and cat-tailed areas. So, but
I would imagine kind of doing what you do and going here, going there, you've probably done a awesome job of scouting places.
Yes.
You're like, got to remember this place, got to remember that place, right, got to remember this place.
It's been a very well-rounded experience, and learning just the different parts of the state as well, and what, you know, resources are, you know, available across the state. And essentially, yes, scouting is a great tool, you know, that we have in our back pocket as for this job. I mean, it not only helps us, you know, with what we do as for a career, but I mean, it helps us get to know the area. And
right.
I always get the, you know, I always get the comments from hunters and fishermen, you know, when we're out just checking fishing licenses and hunting licenses, is, you know, they'll ask me like, well, where are the birds? And I'm like, well, you're supposed to tell me that, right? Like,
right.
You're supposed to be the ones having the success and letting me know where the good spots are at. So, but no, it's a really good experience, and I mean, it's just awesome to be able to go out and see those kinds of things. To call it my job, it doesn't seem quite right, but it's crazy.
Gotcha.
So
we're pretty cool. We do some cool stuff, right?
Yeah, that's good.
They're especially cool.
Right.
They get to do all that. Little, yeah, it's pretty cool what you guys do.
Yeah, no, it's a, you know, I never really knew what I wanted to do, I guess, right away. But once I figured out that, you know, I could have essentially, you know, the outdoors, you know, as my job every day, it's pretty hard to turn that down. Mm-hmm. So, no, very, just kind of a jack of all trades. Definitely don't know it all, but we know a little bit of you know, kind of everything. So there's definitely a lot to know, but we try to, you know as much as we can and inform mm-hmm. the people that, or at least direct somebody to where they need to go. So,
what's been your favorite part of the process? At either stop.
Right. Yep. I would say just, I mean, the overall experience, just learning what our state has to offer and kind of the different resources and programs that we have. You know, the opportunity, you know, whether it's hunting or fishing or recreational boating, you know, making those connections with, you know, landowners and just the general public. And you know, I guess the big thing for me is, like, when I can go and I can check somebody's fishing license and, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you get a handshake and, you know, you create a really good conversation with them, or, you know, you watch a kid catch his first fish. I mean, they're just ecstatic. They love it. And I mean, yeah, I just think back to when I was that age, you know, and they were catching their first fish. Like, it's really good to see, you know, the parents get that younger generation, out. So, I guess, yeah, it's just very rewarding to see people getting out and enjoying the resources that I grew up enjoying as well. So
that's a good experience. What experience have you had, or experiences that you've had, that made you say, well, I didn't see that coming, or I really learned something, or wasn't maybe what you expected it to be?
Sure.
Or you just absolutely hate it and go, I don't want to ever do that again.
Right. Yeah. You know,
there's,
I mean,
that too.
And don't say radio.
It's not all rainbows.
Yeah.
And don't say coming on the radio.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's just like anything. I mean, you're probably going to have some days that you know, didn't necessarily like, but I think for me is just, I like to, you know, get out and work. And I think, you know, my least favorite part is probably just the office, you know, having to spend some time in the office. I mean, just like anything, you got to do it. It's just part of the job. But, you know, being cooped up and you know, getting paperwork done, that's honestly, I mean, that'd probably be one of the most things that not really enjoy. But, I mean, it's just part of it, you know, and the faster you get that done, the quicker you can get back out and, you know, get into the things that kind of need to be addressed, or meeting with the community and seeing what's going on in the community.
Blake, I have a question for you. If you want to pull up. Have you reached, like, a point where you have, like, a really hard day in the field and you're just like, I need to have an office day? Like, it's just too much.
No.
No. Really?
I'm with Cody on this one.
I think you guys have chosen the right career path then, for sure.
Yeah.
If you've never had a day where you're just like, I need an office day, just not to talk to anyone. And just...
Yeah. Even to have, you know, if I were to have an office day, you know, a lot of times, I mean, you know, obviously still new into it, but I can see myself, you know, if I need to get some paperwork done, I'm not necessarily going to go to my office. I mean, we can work out of our pickups a lot. So, I mean, if that means going and just parking at a boat ramp or something and knocking out that paperwork and I guess still being outside and still being able to, you know, see, you know, fishermen go out or see what they're catching, just still trying to be productive in those ways, rather than just, you know, being stuck in an office. So,
mm-hmm.
But, yep. So.
Cool.
Meanwhile, I'm stuck in this room all the night. 10:49, it's the Conservation Show. We continue next. 10:53, Conservation Show continues. About 7 minutes left in the program. Don't forget, big event coming up tonight at Hartford.
Yeah, should be fun. So if you're walking up to a group that's pheasant hunting this weekend, what are you looking for?
So we're going to be looking for, you know, their licenses, whether it's a combination license or having the small game license. And then having that habitat stamp and, you know, depending on public land, but we'll want to see, you know, what kind of shot they're using. Obviously, a lot of those areas require a steel shot, non-toxic shot, so bismuth or tungsten is also going to work. So we'll want to see those. And then if you guys are, if they're having success, you know, we'll want to see the birds and, you know, see what they're looking like. And so, I mean, that's it's mainly and, you know, kind of just see where else they plan to hunt and, you know, if they've heard of anybody else doing good. So, but
what do you think the most common violation you will see, both resident and obviously the big shebang next weekend?
Right.
It's your guess, and then yeah. Blake can tell it what it actually is.
There we go. Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, it could be just not having a habitat stamp, or you know, there are those occasions where some people, you know, they'll accidentally shoot hen pheasants, mm-hmm. and obviously you can only shoot males. So I mean, we're always looking out for those things, but. Possibly, you know, a license requirement or something to that nature, I guess.
What is it, Blake?
666.
Is that the code?
No. So, yeah, what he's talking about is road hunting. So, being that it is resident opener, since the public road right-of-ways, they are public and you can hunt those. But being that it's resident opener, you can't hunt a road right-of-way unless that road right-of-way is next to a public land, so mm-hmm. a game production area or waterfowl production area. So that's a good thing that Blake mentions. And just to remind anybody that's going to be going out road hunting, just anywhere isn't going to be allowed this weekend. But the following weekend, then that'll kick into full gear. Okay. So, yep. So
I guarantee so many people don't know that, right?
Yeah.
660?
Yeah. Well, like just the regulation with it where you can only hunt the road adjacent to public land.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yes and no. Everybody just knows that everybody's going to go gravitate to public lands this weekend. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's more next weekend that we see 660 violations.
Yeah.
From the evil out-of-state people.
Right.
Yeah.
Do either of you have any advice for, like, multiple groups that show up to one piece of public land? Like, how do you handle that as far as, like, safety and...
Right. I mean, obviously, with pheasant hunting, you know, hunter orange isn't a requirement in the state of South Dakota, although it's definitely encouraged, and typically it's not an issue. You know, we're out checking areas, and a lot of the hunters are still pretty good about wearing hunter orange, so just being visible in those areas, and you know, it can be frustrating, you know, when you get multiple people hunting the same area. If it's not big enough, or, you know, they could kind of overcrowd each other. So, they kind of have to, you know, it's essentially public land and everybody has access to it. So, they kind of just have to, make the best of it and try to, you know, a lot of times, I mean, you could either hunt together, you know, get with them and form a plan to maybe, you know some new people and hunt with them. Otherwise, you know, there's plenty of opportunities around the area, so mm-hmm. maybe it's just packing up and checking out another spot. So, but yeah, that definitely and just the last thing we want is a hunting accident. So I mean, staying visible and communication, that's definitely key. Knowing what's going on, having a plan. So,
sure.
But,
what are shooting hours?
It's going to be 10 a.m. to sunset.
Okay.
So yep. And that's central time, so, but, yeah, no, it's, I'm looking forward to it. It should be pretty busy and definitely, kind of just wanting to see, you know, how many people are going to be out and about. And, obviously next weekend, that'll be a big one too, because then, non-residents probably see, them coming over and hunting as well. So, and then it opens up to all lands. So, yep. But how about you, Jeff? What you got? Weekend plans? You much of a hunter?
No.
And the shore fishing isn't that good, so he won't be shore fishing.
Today I'm going to take a nap because I was up too late. Saturday I will be watching baseball. Sunday I'm getting groceries. So it's a jam-packed weekend. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
No time for nothing. That's funny. We'll get
no disc golf.
Probably not. Mm-hmm.
Too busy.
Too busy. Got too much other things going on. Too many pressing things.
Yes.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, today would be a good day to go out and throw the discs around.
Yeah, very
throw
nice.
Throw them out a little bit. Nice. Yeah. Nice and cool.
Weather's real nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking like some rain on Sunday. I don't know how much.
Yeah, it is. Tomorrow looks great. Sunday looks like a chance of showers and thunderstorms. So. Yeah.
Bugs aren't too bad now. Mosquitoes, like, turn back on a little bit recently for some reason near sunset. I've been seeing a little bit more mosquitoes, but those little Nasiums aren't crazy anymore.
I've seen more mosquitoes in my house this year than I've ever seen before.
Really?
I've killed I don't know how many of them in my house.
Yeah.
Little buggers are following you in.
Huh.
What about the Asian beetles? Those everywhere.
They're all over. And they dive bomb you right in the head.
Yeah,
I was like, out for my walk. I'm like, what is in my ear? Oh, it's an Asian beetle.
Yeah.
Wow.
Apparently, I've killed so many of them over the years that they hate me.
Yeah.
Guys, appreciate it. Don't forget about that at Hardford tonight. Plug that again one more time.
5:30 to 7, we're pumpkin picking.
Sounds
good. We'll have activities, crafts for the kids.
Pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, nice meeting you,
Best
too.
Of luck to you in the future in your career.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. So. Have a good one, Blake, over in the corner.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
See you, buddy.
See ya.